Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa.
Today, we're going to be talking about some things that are, I think, something that makes us uncomfortable, even though the word doesn't make us uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about hospitality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We like the word. We really like the word. But when we think about it, we're like, run away.
Well, we all think we're hospitable, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I think that's part of it, but we're really hospitable maybe with our families. Like it's not, you know, Thanksgiving is on the way here and you might be going to somebody's house or you're having people over, but they're usually pretty close and connected to you already. They kind of already know you.
Yeah, for a long time they've known you, so you don't have to worry about, you know, all the mess of who you are or mess how messy your space is or any of that.
Did you know that people in the UP are hospitable?
Sure. What?
I've learned this from a radio station.
Okay.
Have you ever been driving down, you're going on US 2, you come up to the bridge, and there's a sign on the side that says, tune in to the Bridge Authority.
I have never, I've seen the sign. I've never turned
to the... Oh, we do it every time. It's like tradition in our... Why? It's so good.
Why?
My kids, I don't think hate, I think they hate it. But if you tune into the radio, it gives you a little bit of kind of history. It's like this guy giving a speech, the earliest explorers, you know, went across the Straits of Mackinac, the currents were a problem. And they believed that there was never a way a bridge could be built and nobody could build it. And I have to listen to it. It's just like so soothing to my soul. Why? Because think about it. Like the two peninsulas, it almost feels like they belong together. But there's this like separation by deep, unpredictable waters. And then when you're going over there, have you ever gone over the bridge? The Mackinac Bridge when sure it's thing. Snowing.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, done that. It looks like you're going up into the gates of heaven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
And somebody built a bridge just just a few feet short of 5 miles. He tells you that in there. And then there's this place.
Okay.
And this is where the hospitality comes in.
Yeah.
It says in there, visitors to the Upper Peninsula find that the only thing better than our beautiful weather, I think they taped that during the summer, is the warm UP hospitality. And that line, for some reason, hit me. That, like, what does he mean, hospitality? Because I think, when I say the word hospitality, what's the word that comes to your mind really quickly?
I don't know. Maybe entertaining, perhaps. Maybe, like, bringing people over to my house, welcoming people, I don't know, inviting, like, invitations. Those are the things that come to my mind. Why? What yeah. word?
Yeah. Yeah, entertaining. Yeah. Like, we're entertaining these people tonight.
Yeah, and that's what we say.
It's kind of a weird thing to think about. We're not, but if you think
about the UP. You're inviting people over to do some sort of a talent show.
Yeah. But the UP isn't, like, really entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, people don't, they don't entertain, like, when you come here. You know, we don't have really entertainment.
No, we don't. I mean, you know, tech brings in people, but those shows sell out pretty quickly because we don't have entertain. It's not like part of our culture, entertainment.
Yeah. Well, like a trampoline park or, you know, some other type of attraction. There's like natural beauty, but it's not like the people are like, hey, let's go on a hike. They all think you know where the hikes are.
Oh, sure. Right. All of a sudden they're like, oh, so-and-so falls were so amazing. As if you knew.
Right.
Right.
Like we're entertaining. So what do you think they mean by hospitality?
I don't know. Who? The radio?
Yeah. What does it mean to have warm UP hospitality?
I'm not sure what it means other than we are welcoming of the people who come across the bridge most of the time.
That's true. Okay. Unless they came up from Illinois.
Right. Yeah.
The long way.
Right. Yeah. They don't know.
So, yeah, I think it's that word welcoming.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 12. Paul basically says, if you've received the mercy of God, your life becomes the bridge. The hospitality becomes really a part of your worship. And he says, this is, if you're going to have a new mind or a new thought process, you really have to embrace hospitality. And he says, really, with the people that are sitting next to you in church. But
you know what I really like about that? I hadn't thought before is that if you think about the little thing you like on the radio, the unpredictability of having someone into your home is like those like unpredictable currents of the
yeah.
Right? Like, so the bridge is interesting in that way too. So it's not entertaining. It's not my house has to be perfect. All, you know, everything has to, all my ducks have to be in a row. My children have to be lined up and so pretty. It's not that.
Yeah, it's not like your house has to be spotless. He's not saying, hey, your kids have to act like they're from Downton Abbey and get a little English accent all of a sudden.
If you've met my kids, you know they're not going to do that.
Yeah, and then you have to cook a four-course meal.
Yeah.
That's not what
I mean, you might get that if you come to my house. I really like to cook, so you may get that.
Well, I have not been granted the hospitality to come and experience that.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe there's a reason.
But I think those types of things, when we think about it, that it's not reproducible, and it's actually entertaining. It's not hospitality. Hospitality is welcoming. My home isn't perfect, but you're welcome. If you think about, like, if your sisters came over to your house, would you care?
No.
Doesn't matter what the house looks like.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's what he's saying. With God's people, you belong. We're family. We're connected to each other. And so you're welcome.
Yeah. So it crosses the distance between strangers and family.
Yeah. Between us and them. And between isolation and belonging. And Paul isn't giving, when he's talking about hospitality, he's not giving like Martha Stewart tips. He's literally saying, you've been welcomed into the house of God. So live like a family.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking about, you remember the exchange between Paul and Lydia? Like, he meets her and these women at the river. Shitty. Right? So they meet each other. He meets her. She comes to Jesus and immediately she's like, don't leave. Come to my house. You got to tell us more. And so hospitality becomes this like mark, I would say, of the early church. They're meeting. They're gathering in each other's homes. They are immediately inviting one another into each other, into their lives.
Yeah. Why do you think that in our culture, that hospitality is so intimidating?
I mean, I think that the I have to have my house clean and my children perfect is like evidence of a fear of judgment, maybe. What will they think of me? My house doesn't, like, I've posted pictures on Facebook or whatever of what my life is like. And if they come into it, it is not, I'm going to be judged or whatever.
Yeah, the half finished
products. Yeah.
Your dog that needs to go on the one way walk.
Hey.
That was, maybe that was Levine.
A little too close to home, my friend. Okay, sorry.
I think some of us are scared they'll open the junk drawer and they're just going to see who we are.
Yeah. And by junk drawer, you don't actually mean the literal junk drawer because we all have those. You mean the emotional junk drawer. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's rough.
It exposes our life, not just our living room. And I think it's vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, because biblical hospitality is not about performance. It's about presence and being with people. Yeah, I mean, I think besides the fear of judgment, another reason is busyness, right? There's so many things that we're doing. We have lots of appointments and sport things and all the things. And it's just like one more thing, right? We don't really have the margin to do the things. And to imagine inviting people over is, pretty weighty. When your schedule's already pretty packed.
Yeah, it's like we say, hey, that's not something we need to schedule because we're too busy right now. We schedule all kinds of things, though. Mm-hmm. And I think we worship at the altar of efficiency a lot of times instead of what Romans calls us is to be devoted to God's people, not our color-coded Google calendars. It's be devoted to one another. And I think that's part of the grace that God gives us is to be connected in that way. And so some of it is the busyness that we talk about is a part of our culture. Like if you said to somebody, how are you doing? A typical answer is, oh, we're really busy. And it almost feels like a weakness if you don't say that.
Well, yeah, and retired people are the busiest ones that I know.
Yeah.
So perplexing to me. Right. So busy. Yeah, I think that vulnerability appears in another way, too. If you don't know the people and they're not in your lives already and you're trying to cross that bridge, then you can wonder, like, how awkward will this be to invite a stranger into my home? Right? What if they don't like my food? What if my kids decide tonight is the time that they're going to, you know, do some weird performance for everyone? You know, what will I say? What if the conversation goes weird? These are the kinds of things.
But I think that's because we think of it as a transactional thing and not gospel thinking. Jesus didn't host perfect dinner guests. He sat with tax collectors, sinners, and people who probably double dipped in the hummus. Because hospitality isn't necessarily chemistry. It's really a welcoming of grace.
Yeah. And I think that too, when we look for chemistry and we're like, oh, I only want to invite these people in because I already like them. I already know that they're my people. You really miss out, but you're also trying to protect this sort of comfort that you think that you have by not inviting the people there.
Yeah. Kind of a bunker mentality, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Last refuge.
Right. And you do feel like you're losing control, right? You don't know what's going to happen when you invite some rando to your house.
But if you think of Jesus, he leaves the perfect conditions of heaven to sit at our tables. And every time we open our doors, we really reenact the incarnation, right? Like that God came for us, that God sat at our table, that none of us deserved for him to sit at our table, but he invites us to his table. He invites us into this welcoming hospitality of God through the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's really good. And when you like look at the whole story of Scripture, God isn't just hospitable, and he's certainly not entertaining. He is the ultimate host.
Yeah, Genesis, what does God do? He prepares a garden. And says, here you go. You can have this whole world, but here's this special place. Come to my table. And it's really about his presence. If you look at Genesis 2, they're in the garden with God in his presence. They're at his table, if you will. And then they mess that up in Genesis chapter 3, and we've all followed that suit where we've fallen short of the glory of God. They sin, and all of creation starts to go in a different direction. But God rescues these people called the Israelites. And in Exodus, they were enslaved for like 400 years and they're cruising around now. They've been freed. And in Exodus, God sets a table for them. It's called the tabernacle where his presence is there. Luke 15, very familiar story of the prodigal son. A father throws a feast after his son said, hey, I don't need you. I just want your loot. And it's really a picture of us and God, right? And God always welcomes us back. And he doesn't welcome us back as just servants. He welcomes us back as sons and daughters of him and throws really a feast for us. And then the whole Bible ends in Revelation 19 with a big supper, with a big table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so God's always welcoming us to his table.
Yeah, he's always been, and he will be, making room for people who don't deserve it. And that's what we're saying hospitality is.
Yeah, it's constantly. I mean, you can like the people and still be hospitable, I think. Sure. Right? You're like, I'm the person I don't like the most.
Is that what this is about? The podcast is like, make a list of the people you don't like and then invite them over. That seems,
Jesus lived it out constantly. He hosted, he was hosted, he shared tables, he fed the hungry, he welcomed the really kind of unworthy. Even the act of communion is an act of divine hospitality. Jesus becomes both the meal and the host through the bread and the wine of communion.
Well, yeah, and I've actually been, a little while ago, we were talking about, just a moment ago, we were talking about that it requires kind of a plan to be hospitable. And this week, I've been thinking about the long plan of God and how he didn't just like plan all these different tables that you just talked about all throughout Scripture. The long plan was the whole plan of Jesus coming here was a hospitable plan that he put in motion for thousands of years. And I was kind of amazed by that. But, I think that the ancient world noticed hospitality about Christians among all the other things hospitality was a mark of what it meant to follow Jesus. Because they didn't just love their friends, they love strangers as well.
Yeah. I mean, once you were a part of the family, hospitality was given to you instantly. And so they adopted abandoned babies, they cared for the sick during plagues, they fed people who couldn't pay them back. And it grew through hospitalities. Homes became sanctuaries, tables became like a discussion of like the goodness of God. And their welcome was, I think, an apologetic, because Jesus says that they will know you by your love for one another, which is actuated through one of the acts is through hospitality.
Yeah, I mean, you used a word there that we might not all know. What do you mean by saying that their welcome was apologetic?
I think it was speaking of the truth of the goodness of what Jesus did by welcoming us to his table, that we welcome each other to our.
All right, so how do we do that?
I think you have to have an open table. Not perfect decor, not gourmet skills, just space for someone who needs connection.
Yeah, so the single neighbor or the coworker or the overwhelmed parent or the college student who's far from home, these people.
Or just the regular people that sit next to you in church. Right. You know, just, right. I mean, we all need right. hospitality.
Sure.
Hint, yeah. Hint.
Oh, okay.
Four-course meal.
Did you want the
It's on.
I was thinking that same thing. Okay.
Hospitality, though, requires margin. You can't welcome people if you're sprinting through life. You got to schedule it. If I put it on my schedule, it will happen.
Yeah, me too.
And so think, you know, about Thanksgiving coming. Who are you going to invite?
I just wanted to say Ghostbusters. That didn't seem right, though.
What are you going to do when they come yeah. for you?
No, that's Bad Boys.
Oh,
who are you going to call?
Call, that's
Ghostbusters.
It.
We digress.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so you got to slow down. But also part of hospitality, I think that I hear you saying, is that we got to be willing to receive it too.
Yeah, because receiving is maybe harder than giving sometimes. But refusing hospitality, and I think sometimes I have a hard time, it steals someone else's joy in serving. The gospel says, you're not the host when we come to God's table. We're the guest that has been invited, and we just receive that. And so it's part of that incarnation that we get to receive that from somebody else, from our brothers and sisters, and feel like family in that sense.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the like the common struggles that I hear. You know, Momco meets on Tuesday mornings at 9:15 every other Tuesday morning. And one of the things that I hear a lot from the moms who meet is that they're overwhelmed and they're tired and they're in the middle of momming. And then they just don't want to ask for or accept help from someone else. Their friend will call them and be like, hey, can I bring a meal? And they'll be like, no, it's too much for you to do that. And so I think that hospitality looks like inviting people over to share the meal, but also the willingness, like we're saying, to say, yes, I accept the invitation to join your family and to do the thing.
I think it's humbling, like yeah. that we actually need other yeah. people. And we'll say, no, we don't need anybody else. But when you receive, you're really saying, I have a need for connection, for family. And I think that's a really powerful thing to allow someone to serve in that way and to love you in that way through hospitality.
Well, yeah, and it's not just individually, right? Hospitality is about what it means in gathered worship too, right? Church looks like a table, not just a thing that's on your calendar for a Sunday morning.
Yeah, church is a family meal before it ever is just a program. It's a table before it's a stage. And think of the empty chairs, you know. God, who do you want me to welcome to my table? Who needs a place?
Yeah, because I suppose that the best table that you might ever set is the one that reminds someone that they're not alone.
Yeah, I was talking with a guy, and he just moved to our area. And he was telling a story about how there was like this snowstorm, like it was like 5 inches of snow. And he looks out and he sees his neighbor. He's out there with a spade trying to shovel the sidewalk. And he did have a snow shovel. And so he brought it to him and they kind of exchanged pleasantries. And, you know, the guy used his shovel. And then you fast forward a month later and this guy knocks on the door and says, hey, we made too much chicken. Does your family want to come over? And so they kind of look at each other, kind of going, do we really want to do this? Like, we don't really know these people. And so they go over there and they eat chicken. They hang out. They pray before the meal. There's really kind of this loving environment that's being displayed. And this guy is like, man, I want that in my life. And then they invite them to church.
Well, actually, you know, I was talking to him as well. And he and his wife were sharing with me the same story. And that family, their neighbor, invited them over that night and then invited them over the next night and then invited them over the next night and then said, come to church with us. It was like a whole week of them just like, come on, enjoy, like, sit at our table.
Oh, that's, isn't that good?
Yeah.
And he becomes a follower of Jesus through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he will tell you his marriage was not great. It was on the rocks. Divorce was on their table at home. And this guy who is trying to shovel with a spade invites him into his house, and it changes everything through just this kindness of hospitality.
It's such a good story.
And I think that's the power of welcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone made space in the life and opens his eyes to God's grace.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing, right? Like, hospitality isn't an add-on to what we're doing as followers of Jesus. It is what we're doing. It is the Christian life.
Yeah, it's like we just do this because we've been welcomed. And when we understand how much God has given us, we just it's just automatically, if we want to be like Daddy, if we want to be like our Heavenly Father, we welcome people into our tables. That's good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear them. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. And if you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.